Certainly.
Ready, Stan? Do you have to open it first?
Sorry, bud.
That's okay.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming tonight to this meeting of the Clinton Township School District Board of Education meeting. Today is August 26, 2013, and the time is 7:38 p.m. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 10, 2013. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, posting on the district website, and faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mrs. Spitzer, would you please do the roll call vote?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mr. Frieda?
Present.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Here. For the other board members, I wanted to let you know that I got an email and a phone call today from Mrs. Cresti. She was unable to attend tonight and sent her regrets. Mr. Malloy, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Can everyone please stand? I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first up on the agenda is the President's Report. I wanted to use this time tonight for two purposes. First, I want to just talk about a little bit of a board business, board policy or board conduct. And secondly, I wanted to have a discussion with the board and potentially with candidates regarding appointment of a vacant board member position tonight. First, just on board policy, just a little bit of housekeeping. Board members, everybody's busy. I know I am, and I know you all are, as are the people at the schools that we interact with on a regular basis. And I just wanted to give a reminder that if somebody's reaching out to any of you for a question, an opinion, to schedule a meeting, the expectation is that you do everything you can to respond as quickly as you can. That doesn't mean instantly, but if you can, try to strive to at least check your board emails and messages daily and get back to that person. Or if you're on the run and you're out of touch with a computer, which I am sometimes, just let that person know I got your message, and as soon as I have a chance, I'll get back to you on that topic. Secondly, we all have these very cool high-speed phones. I have emails and texts coming in constantly, including during the board meeting. My preference would be whenever possible, that board members try to refrain from texting or emailing during a board meeting. And I would always reference the safe home exemption. If you have somebody that, you know, getting back to you, letting you know they got home, or, you know, if you have communication with a child while you're here, totally understand. If you have to check a message to see that someone got where they were supposed to be, or that there's some change in the plans on pickups, you know, please don't hesitate to use your phone for that purpose. If it's going to be more than that, if you have to get into a back and forth text or emailing, I would just ask if you can just excuse yourself for a few minutes to the hallway, you know, take care of that, and then come back in and resume the board activity. Does anybody, you know, have any opinions on that? It's been brought up to me a few times, and I just wanted to see if we could just touch base on it and try and be mindful of that during the board meetings. Okay, that's my preaching on that topic for the evening. The next topic, we have a board vacancy for a member of the Board of Education. We had a resignation shortly before the last board meeting. Michelle Sullivan left us. She moved out of town. So we have a vacancy. I spoke about this at the July meeting, the fact that we had the vacancy. In addition to having a vacancy, we also have some new regulation with regard to school elections. So at the last meeting, I used my time in President's comments to talk about the vacancy, the process of filling the vacancy, and then the new process for a board member who's filling an unexpired term to submit a ballot and to go on the public ballot in November. Subsequent to that, in August, we had some communication on the board about putting out the notice of the vacancy. So in the middle of the month, we published on the front page of the school website that we had the vacancy, and we solicited applications to be submitted to the board secretary, Mrs. Spitzer, no later than this meeting. We have had a couple of applications. We have two members of the community that had expressed interest in applying for the position. There's some discussion amongst the board members about whether we should have the discussion about interview and appointing tonight. My opinion on that was that we previewed the vacancy in the process at the last board meeting. We published it on the website, which is our normal process for publishing the vacancy, and we have two candidates that are interested in the vacancy here tonight that are available to interview. I would like to conduct the interview, have a discussion as a board, and if we're in agreement, make an appointment. I would have preferred that the notification of the executive session had been on the agenda that was published Friday night. That was an oversight on our part, and I'll say on my part because I'm responsible for that being accurate. We should have made reference to that on the Friday agenda that was published. So I asked for that to be revised over the weekend to reflect the fact that we wanted to interview and appoint tonight. Additional reasoning behind that is we've got the vacancy. Our appointment is good for 4 months. It's good to the end of this calendar year, December 31st. If a candidate wants to serve beyond that term, they would have had to have submitted a petition through Mrs. Spitzer prior to September 3rd saying that they want to go on the ballot. So the only way that they could fill out that full term is to be elected in November. Go ahead.
The application for the board seat goes through the Mary Melfi at the voter registration office, not through me.
You don't process that at all?
I do not.
Okay,
That's the only thing.
So part of the new regulation that the petition would have to go to Mary Melfi, the county clerk. After tonight, no additional applications can be accepted. The deadline was tonight at the start of the board meeting. So the two people who are interested in the position, they've submitted their applications, they're here, they're available for us to interview. So my recommendation to the board is that we do that. We interview them. We give them an opportunity to express why they want to serve on the board. Then we would go into executive session, discuss the applications, and if we found somebody was acceptable, that we would make an appointment tonight, and that person would become a board member. So other board members, with that said, I just wanted to ask your opinions. If you have any objections to it, if you agree with it, please let me know, and I would consider it.
Kevin, I know you and I have spoken about this in great length, but for the rest of the board, I want to share with you my thoughts on how we proceed with filling this particular open seat. I was not aware through the communications that we had provided on the website and even on the agenda that I reviewed as vice president of the board on Thursday, and as well as the agenda that came out Friday, that we were going to interview for this position. In the advertisement that we put on our own website, it said interested candidates may submit a letter of interest and a resume of consideration prior to the August 26th board meeting. This does not say that we would be interviewing this evening these particular candidates or any particular interested candidate. So the fact that it wasn't published that this is what we were going to do this evening, the fact that it was not on the agenda released to the public, that we're getting revised agendas today, the fact that mid-afternoon today I got additional resume to look at and additional forms to fill out and look at on how we were going to evaluate the prospective candidate. I disagree with going through with this process tonight. I think we need to make sure that the community is very aware that we are going to interview prospective candidates on a specific night. I think we need to make it very clear to those prospective candidates what this process is. I think we need to talk as a board as to what those processes or the process will be. We have not done that yet. We have not reviewed questions. We did not review how we were going to evaluate candidates. And so I say to you, to the board, that my recommendation is that we table it for tonight, that we give the community ample opportunity to know when the process is going to happen, what the process is going to be, let the board vet out what the questions are going to be, and how we're going to proceed with this. We are not in a rush to do this. We have 60 days, if I'm correct, from the time that Ms. Sullivan has resigned. This particular Board of Education has worked exceptionally hard in the last 8 months or so to cross all of our T's and dot our I's to make sure that our processes are made known to our community, to our staff, and to our public, and that everybody knows what we're doing. And I think if we don't follow process and we don't communicate that to the best of our ability, then we're not doing our job as a governing body. And we've been trying to do that and improve on that over and over again. We've done a good job, and I think if we take steps to table it, to do things a little bit differently, it's in the right direction for what this board's been trying to accomplish.
Okay, I rebuttal.
From my perspective, I've been here almost, I guess, 2.5 years, along with Maria, I think, and Michelle. She's not here anymore. And we've seen now 4 turnovers, 4 vacancies, I believe it's, right?
We've had four,
right? Net today, tonight we'll make it 4, which is staggering in itself, 4 turnovers in 2.5 years. But logically, after the resignation, the next meeting, we've always executed. We've always executed and taken action the next meeting. So it was in the board packet that there was a candidate, because logically that's how we'd done it. At the next meeting, we've always taken the steps to appoint, interview, have our questions. I think these have been standard questions from the past board folks, who I don't always agree with the past board folks, but at least they did something right here with these questions. They've had these questions. They've been here for us, and we've used this as a pattern in the past. And we've executed these questions, and then we went into executive session. I think this was an oversight that it wasn't on the initial agenda. But we did have in our packet a candidate, so we knew that we were going to be doing something. We knew that some action might have been taken. It just wasn't in the packet. And I was going to question it, but luckily Kevin caught it. And he, like you said, we can't get the things timely, but he did catch it. He did make the correction, thinking that the next meeting tonight, we're going to have that topic. So I don't know what the problem is as far as we sort of expected that this was going to happen at our next meeting. Kevin outlined it. He said there was a time-sensitive issue. Now, I'm not saying we have to agree on a candidate. Hey, listen, we may not come to a conclusion on the candidate. That's a different story. We don't have to say that we're going to accept who's here tonight. But we should go through with the process. And as far as the community, I don't think we advertised enough, quite frankly. I don't think we gave the entire community a good rundown of what's happening.
So why don't we do a better job?
Hold on. We advertise on the district website. Very good. We always do. We advertised on the HC News, I believe. There was 2 blurbs. The HC News is internet-driven. Nobody sees that. No disrespect if anybody's here from the HC News. And we should have, took a step further, maybe called the local Huntington Democrat reporter and said, do us a favor, we have an opening. Could you put it on there? Because that would have created more community-generated interest. We walked the walk of saying we want to be a district for the entire community. But, you know, we're not coming through here and doing that. In this case, I believe, we didn't reach out to the entire community, and I don't know why, but we should have. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't go forward. I think we need to do better next time. We need to do better next time because somebody, I believe, dropped the ball in advertising and getting at the maximum advertising. That's what I believe. We could have done a better job to the entire community, affording the entire community an opportunity to see this. Now, I don't think because the ball was dropped, in my opinion, that we should go back. Logically, at the next meeting after a vacancy, we take action. We've done that for the past 3 vacancies.
Has this board not been criticized for not doing things with appropriate process?
I don't think this board's been criticized for doing that. I don't think we've ever been criticized for that.
We've been previously criticized for advertising dates and then hiring somebody prior to the closing date.
But that's not the same as a board vacancy.
This is about a closing date. Was the date not today?
Right. I'm going to stick my 2 cents in here again.
Okay, when you're done, I want to give my 2 cents.
Okay. We want to be respectful, and I would prefer to keep the discussion positive because it's a positive thing. It's exciting that people are willing to serve on a board. know, generally there's not a long, long line of people that apply for these vacancies, so I'm happy when we have them. We did have some discussion about how to communicate this with the public prior to it being published on the website. And the reason we published it on the website is that's what we've done. That's our precedent. When we have a board vacancy, we publish it on the website. We've done that for the last four board vacancies, including three of them were for people in this room, at least, I think three, maybe four, possibly four. But it was the same process. We had a resignation. We posted it on the board website, and at that subsequent board meeting, we conducted interviews. It was on the agenda, and that was my intent for tonight. When I saw that it was my intent all along when I outlined the process last month, especially because of the new regulation about having to submit your petition September 3rd. I thought it made sense that the person that we were able to interview and appoint might be interested in filling out the petition and going on the ballot for next year. So in my mind, that was why I thought we would do the interview and appointing at this meeting. When I saw the draft agenda, that was one of my comments. Where is the language referencing the interview and appointment of the new board member? But it was a miscommunication. It didn't get added. But my intent was for it to be added. At this stage, the two candidates who have applied by the time we asked them to apply are here. Next month, there will be no more candidates. We've closed the deadline. It was tonight prior to the board meeting. The candidates are here. Yes, we can always improve. I would probably definitely do this differently the next time we had a board vacancy. I take your point, Mark, about advertising it to a larger community beyond what our precedent has been. But I still recommend, with all things considered, including the intent when I outlined the process a month ago and the fact that these members of the community made their time to become available and that we're using the same question as we used when we interviewed and appointed three members of this board.
Mr. President, I advocate going forward. I advocate going forward.
And give them the opportunity to also submit their petition to go on the ballot for November. So I'm sorry, Rachel.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but listen to me for a minute. I didn't have access to this information until I sat down right now. I worked all day, and I didn't know that there was a revised agenda. I just came out of a policy and curriculum meeting with you for an hour and a half, and this was never discussed. I mean, you could have even said, hey, did you notice that there's a revised agenda? I made a mistake. I accidentally missed this. So I'm sitting down for the first time right now looking at a revised agenda with questions and resumes. So personally, I don't feel like I've had any time to review this information. And that's what's frustrating me right now. And I'm also frustrated because we have two people that have come out for this position, and they're here. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to interview tonight, but I don't feel like we're prepared. And I also don't feel like we followed our process, because we have been criticized previously on putting a date and then doing something prior to the deadline. And does it say on the website by the start of the board meeting, or does it say today's date? Because if it says today's date, today goes until midnight.
Well, it says prior to the board meeting.
But it doesn't say we're going to interview tonight on this ad.
And I saw the initial resume, but it wasn't on the agenda, so I assumed that we weren't doing any interviews, so I didn't write any questions asking if we were interviewing because it wasn't on the agenda.
Well, yeah, it should have been on the agenda. Called it out as an exception.
But our packet had a candidate on it.
Yes.
So logically, you sit there and say, okay, well, there's a candidate on it. Why isn't there anything on here? That's the question. Why wasn't there anything on here? But you caught it, you amended it, and you fixed it. But from my perspective, I figured, hey, there's a candidate here. We're doing some interviews.
In addition to that, we have a board member that's not present tonight.
Well, can I comment on that, Mr. Sturz? First of all, to Mrs. Brennan and Ms. Verderamo, thank you for your interest, and we truly appreciate it. But as I see it, there are two groups impacted. The first would be the candidates themselves. You're right. There is not a long line of people lining up to do this, so I'm actually pretty excited that there's more than one. But Rachel makes a very excellent point in that this is a very important decision that I think specifically deserves the vote of the full board. And unfortunately, Mrs. Cresti couldn't be here tonight. I also think it's important to have the full board because I believe we need 5 yes votes to appoint a new board member. And I think the full board deserves a vote. Having said that, what I would suggest as an alternative is the candidates are prepared. They're prepared to interview. why don't we listen to the candidates, conduct our interviews, but let's wait on a vote until Mrs. Cresti has had the opportunity to review the documentation and listen to the audio of tonight's meeting. That way, everybody gets a chance to digest what was said, think about it a little bit more carefully. It's fair to the candidates who worked hard to prepare tonight. And then the full board can vote in confidence, knowing that there's been enough time to digest the candidates' statements, their resumes, their CVs, and we can make a more informed decision. Just a decision.
I respect that, but what if I can't make next meeting? Now we don't have a full board. We may never have... You know,
we would actually call a special just for this, I would say.
But what if circumstances can't dictate the full board? But, you know, you may never have a full board. One person being absent, we wish you was here, but you can't...
I just can't see...
You know, you can't roll the dice
and say... I can't see appointing a member without allowing every member of the existing board to have a vote on it. I just don't think that's possible.
Have we ever... I don't know, Marie, maybe you can help me. Have we ever had a vacancy filled when we wouldn't have the full board here?
The full board's always been here, my recollection, yeah. When that process has occurred.
But I do think that we owe it to our candidates to allow them to speak tonight. I'm actually interested in listening to them speak tonight, but I don't think, because we do have enough time, I see no harm in allowing perhaps a small executive session or a special meeting to come to a decision as a full body.
Here's one mitigating factor. The new deadline, which hasn't existed until this past year, that came from the election regulation about the deadline of, I think it's September 3rd, for the candidate to submit the ballot to the county to go on the ballot in November.
I think you're confusing two things there, Kevin. I think submitting to be on the ballot and being selected to the board are two mutually exclusive events.
Yes, they are.
And that a candidate who is not here tonight or any other night when you do or do not make a selection can either be selected and submit to run for the position in November, or someone who has not expressed interest as we go through this particular process to replace a vacant position. But those two are not related.
They're not. They're mutually exclusive.
Correct.
If I were a candidate and I was appointed by the board, I would be much more likely to put my name on the ballot. Then
I can't agree with you and would state that as a board, I think that we're able to, when you look at the mechanics of the process, move forward with the selection tonight, the presentations and selections. I think mechanically we can do that. But what is the image that we want to send out to the public? And what I find interesting is that we have these three pamphlets in front of us. I don't know where these came from. I don't know who put them out here. And the one I've got on top is 6 Keys for Promoting Positive Public Engagement. And what I tell you is that I'm a member of a number of different volunteer organizations in the community. And oftentimes we need to go to different townships or boroughs to attend their meetings to listen to information that they have, that they're going to present, they're going to debate, they're going to vote on, that would impact us. And specifically it's the EMS and rescue squads. When the particular boards that we're looking at or communities we're looking at take the topic off of the agenda, we then don't attend. And the reason for that is that they're not addressing the issue that we have interest in. So we put out an agenda, right, wrong, or indifferent. We did that on Friday. The agenda that we put out did not have on it that we were going to interview candidates this evening, nor were we going to make a selection this evening. And it's very possible that members of the community that might be interested in that would not have attended, thinking that's going to happen at a time in the future. So we're in essence potentially excluding those individuals. While personally I'm thrilled that 2 individuals have put in for the seat, and with all due respect to them, I know they would prefer to be up tonight. I think it's in the best interest of the board and the image that we want to project to the community, and that is one of community inclusion into the board processes, that it's in our best interest, the community's best interest, and the children's best interest to put this off until the September meeting, which would meet, I believe, all of our requirements for replacing the vacant position in the 60-day time frame.
Let me just ask a question. I see our attorneys here, so I assume we're paying her, so might as well put you on the spot. Is our notice defective because this was not fully explained when the agenda was put out?
There is no requirement specifically in the statute about how you go about notifying the public. The statute is basically just about the time frame for having to take action to vote on a replacement so that you don't lose that opportunity and have the county appoint somebody. But there is nothing there
legally that requires you to advertise it by any particular time or X number of days before the meeting.
Okay, so we are then on sound footing as far as the legality of things is concerned if we proceed tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the one thing you advertised was the deadline for receipt of interest.
And
so you haven't overstepped that.
Okay. And I would just comment as a, you know, when I look over my shoulder, I'm a short timer. When I look forward, I'm a very short timer. So take comments with a grain of salt. But this is terrific. I mean, the board has differing opinions, and this has been a terrific exchange of ideas in a very civil way. And I think, gosh, everybody should be commended for it. It's going to be a tough choice. It really is. But just the conduct of the deliberation is terrific. I don't know if you're going to call for a vote, Kevin, or not, but sometimes we get into these things on the planning board where there's lively discussions one way or the other, and then after deliberation, people have to vote to see which way we're going to go.
But
sometimes.
But according to the board attorney, we have not overstepped our boundaries.
No, correct. The only date you put in was the date for receipt of.
So if this board did go forward, we didn't do anything outside of the box.
Correct.
We are within the guidelines of advertising.
Well, there are no guidelines. There are no guidelines. So it's really you probably want to look at what your prior history has been. Normally, you like to follow the way you've done in the past. But in terms of the law, the only requirement is that you do this within, it's actually 65 days in the statute from the time you accepted the resignation, so that you as a board get the opportunity to make this appointment rather than default to the county making the appointment.
And our prior history has always been, I believe, after resignation, the next board meeting, we interview, go into executive session, and make a decision. That's usually.
That sounds like, Mark, is the old argument that the officer had standing over a person. Yes, they were in the right, but they're
dead. We just got a legal okay.
In that regard,
we just got a legal okay.
What is the image that we want to put out to the public? And I think I'm voting on that it's one of inclusion and not exclusion. Whether intentional or not doesn't matter. The net is that we did not notify the public via our agenda, which is our common methodology for letting people know what we're going to do in a particular meeting in a timely fashion. So in that regard, can we move forward? I think the answer to that I'm hearing is a loud and clear yes. Does it make sense to move forward and go do that? In my view, the answer is no.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. I do appreciate the feedback. I did look at our bylaws before entering this discussion tonight, and I did look back at our past practice, and I did go back to my emails from 2010, which I sadly still keep, to try to see what the precedent had been. And it had been what my intention was back in July when I outlined the process, that we make notification on the website. It appeared on the agenda prior to the meeting where the interviewing was done. The board interviewed, went into an executive session, and made an appointment. My preference would have been that we had done that tonight. When I did see that was missing from the agenda, I called it out and asked for it to be added, and it wasn't. So after hearing everybody's opinions, and actually I think we did catch everybody's opinion, thank you, I think I'm going to follow Mr. Malloy's advice. We have the candidates here. Unless there's an objection, I would like to hear what they have to say. I don't want to waste their time any longer, and then we will have time to consider their input, and we can republish the executive session for the following board meeting, and then we can deliberate and make an appointment at that time.
Can I provide some feedback with that? A couple things. One of the reasons why we're not going to move forward with this, if I heard just about everybody correctly, is because we hadn't provided enough information to the public that this was going to take place. So if we still move forward with an interviewing process, the public still has not been completely informed. And the second thing is, again, late this afternoon, I got a second resume and a second letter,
yeah.
And I haven't had time because of everything else during the day, and Ms. McLaughlin said the same thing, to review that. And they've come out here, they want to be part of this. I feel an obligation to have thought through questions, to have read their material, and provide them with as best of an interview that we can. And I think because we got this information today and in the afternoon, I don't know that we're doing them justice, and I want to respect them. They came out, they want to be part of this, and I think we owe that to them.
So the questions that we used when you applied for the vacancy, and Kevin and Rachel, they would not be helpful?
I think some of these questions are helpful, but also the resumes are given to us because there's always been an open session portion of the interviewing process where once questions have been asked, we can then ask questions based on the resume, based on their experience, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't feel like I can do that because I haven't had enough time with the second set of resumes. And I think out of respect for them, we need to be able to do that.
I'd make a motion that we vote on whether to move forward tonight or to postpone it until September.
Well, we're in President's comments. I don't know that we would be making motions or seconding or voting. We can do.
Can we do a motion to go into executive
what session, do you want to vote?
So we have to do something.
We're in President's comments. A board member suggesting making a motion to vote on whether or not to interview.
I mean, I don't think anything prevents you from doing that if you want to go forward and just taking the board's vote on how to proceed.
Okay.
There's nothing in the bylaws that addresses this issue of when to do the interviews.
I don't know if this is a point of order or not, but the alternatives would be to proceed fully or the compromise that both Kevin suggested. Is that correct?
Well, there's a third option.
John, could you go into the mic more?
I'm sorry.
I know you're soft-spoken.
Always. I just want to be clear. If we do vote, put this to a vote, the alternative would be to proceed fully or to go with the compromise that both Kevin's outlined, where we interview the candidates tonight, but defer a decision until everybody's had a chance to look at, the resumes and...
Or the third one, yeah. To just go ahead and wait until September comes, either have a special meeting or wait till the September meeting comes would be the third one. So Kevin Malloy provided a second one. And then the president has one, and then the third one is to just table it until the next time we meet.
And that would be re-advertising it?
And we would put it on the website and let people know that, this is the process that we're going to follow to interview prospective board members for this seat. And then hopefully all of us can be there because Kevin's point's well taken, so that the full board can interview and determine whether this individual or either one of the individuals can be voted on to gain a seat on the board.
Okay. So what would be different from the advertisement on the district website that we had, and what would be the future post of the website?
This ad does not say that we are going to vote tonight.
Yeah, that typically would just be put on the next agenda.
I'm sorry?
That would typically just be put on the next agenda.
Right, but we're trying to do things different and better. And to do it different and better, we can now... that we all understand what the process needs to be, let people know when we want to interview, if we should vote to move it, okay, to let them know what it is. Right now, this just says submit everything prior to the board meeting. It doesn't say...
Who authored that? Who set this up? Who set the district website language up?
It doesn't matter who set it up.
Well, you're not happy with it, so who set it up?
It's not important who set it up. The fact of the matter is, it says what it says.
Yeah, but how come it says what it says? What does it say now that it's in the past never has said?
In the past, I think it was made pretty clear when we would be interviewing in the agenda and on, on the district website. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter.
As a chairman, was this run by you? Did you look at it and okay it? And
all right. Previously, the only difference from... I don't think we're all going to hash out today how we'll communicate in the future, but the previous four times that we have advertised a vacancy, we did it on the website, and we published it on the agenda. The candidates attended. We did the interview and made an appointment. So I think at this stage, I would like to move forward, and I'm going to follow Kevin Malloy's recommendation. The candidates are here. I heard your objection. I also heard other suggestions. I would like to move forward with the interview of the candidates. We can consider their resumes further. We'll republish the executive session at the next meeting on the agenda. We'll deliberate, and then we'll appoint the candidate at that time. We'll give additional instruction to the candidates. Maybe Heather, you can help with that with regard to
them. Aren't we going to vote? I mean, it just isn't. Do we have to vote? Or?
Yes, you definitely would vote. I mean, the closed session is advertised just so the public knows that you're going to go into closed session to discuss the candidates, but the vote takes place in open session.
Well, what I mean is, are we going to vote in what direction we're going to go of one of the three options?
Oh, there's no requirement to do that. I mean, that's up to the board.
So
president.
Kevin can just decide yeah. the direction.
You know, we can decide just to move forward with the interviews and make an appointment. Or we can take an intermediate position, which is what I'm recommending.
And just for the record, to the board attorney, that's within the president's scope to do that.
Yes.
He is allowed as president of the board.
Your bylaws don't have any specific provision about
I just
how,
make
this,
sure,
how this whole practice...
I just want to make sure the board president's on solid ground with his decision. Okay. Thank you.
So what the board president is asking us to do is to listen to the presentation of two candidates, wait 30 days or 1 month, and 30 days later make a determination on the best candidate.
Well, the objection...
He's taken that at the recommendation of Mr. Malloy.
That's what I'm asking you a question. Is that what you're recommending?
Well, the objection, I understood, Dan, I'm taking them as they come, was that there wasn't sufficient time to consider the resumes.
No, I'm asking what your recommendation... You've made a recommendation for what you'd like to do.
That's my recommendation.
I'm trying to understand it.
My recommendation was to follow the middle-of-the-road position that Kevin had outlined.
Okay, so is that, point of clarification, is that you're asking for two candidates to make a presentation this evening regarding their candidacy for the vacant position, and then you're requesting that the board in September vote on the candidates?
That's my recommendation. We can vote on it. If we want to vote on the options, we can do that. That is my recommendation. My recommendation coming in is that we interview the candidates and make an appointment for the reasons that I outlined here and via email. I'm revising my recommendation after hearing from you all and hearing a recommendation that I liked. If you would like to vote on it, we can vote on it. I don't object to that. So, John, would you mind summarizing the three options, and we'll go ahead and vote.
Okay. I guess, whoops. One option is basically a full stop and defer activities till the September meeting. The other option is full forward to interview, vote, and name a candidate tonight. It's that middle one that Kevin spoke very eloquently of, which I think is we honor the presence of the candidates tonight. We go through the discussion or the interviews, and we defer naming the successful candidate until Michelle's had a chance to listen to the tapes or look at the resumes and form her opinion, and then we gather up at the September meeting to make the final decision.
I think that's right. To the extent that I would prefer to have a special meeting to appoint our new board member in September, that would be preferred, but I think we'd still be within our deadline outlined by the county to fill the vacancy ourselves at a meeting set for, I believe it's the 23rd?
Yeah, we'd have a few days to spare.
I'm willing to, if it's acceptable to the rest of the board, if that's the option, we go to wait to make that appointment at the beginning of the meeting on the 23rd. Because that's happened during mine, I was appointed and ushered to my seat.
Again, and I just, for the record, if option three is the way to go, we are on legal ground.
Yes, you could do any of these options. What you're discussing now is whether you're going to vote
options. I just want to make sure if number three is the end that we end up with, that we are. Okay.
And ML, I might ask for guidance on here. So I'm going to run through the options and ask if there is a motion to vote on any of these alternatives.
Yes, I mean, I think the only way to do it is for somebody to make a motion on the way they want to do it, mm-hmm. and then if you get a majority of that.
Okay, so I'll do this in the pace that I think makes most sense based on the discussion. Is there a motion to interview and appoint a candidate tonight? I'm seeing no motion for that option. Is there a motion to interview tonight, interview the candidates, deliberate, and make an appointment after executive session at the September meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
Oh,
Mark. So moved by Mr. Malloy, second by Mr. Higgins. Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the option to interview tonight and defer to September. So Heather, can we have a roll call on that motion?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
No.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
No.
Mrs. Grant?
No.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
The vote is 4-3 in the affirmative.
Okay, so on that basis, we're going to move forward with interview tonight. We'll share the information with the absent board member, Mrs. Cresti, and then in September, we'll advertise the executive session, we'll deliberate, we'll make an appointment at the September meeting.
And I just want to say, I think because the two candidates are here, it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. Good suggestion. We need 5 to appoint a board member, okay. Correct?
Correct.
We do not need 5 to approve the motion. We need a simple majority.
Need a majority.
To approve the motion.
Okay. And I apologize to those of you that are here to take your time with that discussion. Generally, as a board, we agree on many topics, but in this particular case, we didn't. And when that happens, I would introduce the opportunity to have a discussion. We want to keep it civil, but we also want to allow the opportunity for differing opinion. So moving on, we have two candidates tonight for the position of vacant a board vacancy.
Point of order. Before doing so, do we have to strike? We're not going into executive session, or are we?
We're not going into executive session.
Right, so we
tonight.
Have to make a motion.
No, you just won't make a motion to go in for that purpose.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, our candidates tonight are Mrs. Lana Brennan and Mrs. Megan Verderamo. Thank you for coming, and thank you again for expressing your interest in applying for the vacant position. We have a list of questions that are designed for us to just get to know you better, what your interests in the schools are, and making sure you're familiar with the duties of the board member. We have 7 questions, and I'd like to ask the board members if we can relay these questions, starting with Mr. Malloy. We'll ask the first question, Mrs. McLaughlin the second, Mr. Freda the third, and so on. We have 1, 2, 3.
Are we
7
doing them in this order, or are we free to pick which question we want to ask?
I'd prefer to do it in this order, if you don't mind. Follow-up questions, I think once a board member asks a question on a certain topic, if another board member has a follow-up question after the candidate's answered, I think that would be an acceptable way to do it.
And at the end, if you have your own question, can you construct one?
Yeah, if board members have a question at the end, any additional questions they might have that would help them form an opinion about the candidate, yes, that you would be free to ask those questions.
Are you going to alternate the questions with the candidates, or one candidate will answer all the questions and then go to the next?
I think we probably should alternate, so we'll let each candidate do an opening statement, and then we'll do alternating questions. I think that would be a more fair way to do it. Thank you, Dr. Clark. Okay, so we're going to start with Mrs. Brennan. Mrs. Brennan, if you can, just introduce yourself. You may as well tell us where you live. I know you've done it a few times.
Without it.
You want the podium?
Oh, I don't want to touch the computer and possibly break it.
And just you know, take a minute and just tell us about yourself and about your interest in Clinton Township School District.
Okay, I'm Lana Brennan. I live at 21 Fawn Drive. Lebanon, New Jersey, 0823. And I have an interest in the schools and the fact that I have one daughter who is currently attending Spruce Run. She'll be in first grade next week.
And I have two daughters, twin daughters, that are 2 and a half. So I'll be here for a while. And I really enjoy volunteering, and I've been a big supporter of the PTA, as well as taking over numerous jobs to help out the students. And I would love to do some more. I someday hope to help some of the students here in the theater, because that is where I majored. And once my kids go to sleep all night and I can leave them and they can kind of fend for themselves, I'd love to come and help do a production, or even, you know, help teach something, because I would love to instill the love of the arts to future students.
Thank you. Mr. Malloy, could you, I'm sorry, Mrs. Brennan, if you could just hang there for a minute. While Mrs. Brennan is up, can you ask the first question?
Sure.
And then we'll have Mrs. Verderamo introduce herself, and then we can alternate.
Should we have them each at one podium so it's easier to alternate?
That might be.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Thanks, Richard.
You know what? I'm actually going to change up now that we have Mrs. Verderamo out of her chair. Would you mind, Mrs. Verderamo, introducing yourself? Tell us where you live.
Sure.
And the same as the question of Mrs. Brennan, just tell us about yourself and your interest in Clinton Township School District.
My name is Megan Verderamo. I live at 1264 Route 31. I've grown up in Clinton Township. I attended Spruce Run, Patrick McGarren, Round Valley, all that great stuff. I have an avid interest, as I was once an employee here as a special ed teacher, and am married to a staff member who currently is here, Rich Verderamo. I really chose to come to the board. I used to attend a lot of the board meetings prior to going back to school for my master's. Let's hope I don't knock this over. In educational leadership. And then as a mom of a first grader as well, I needed to spend some time at home. And now home seems to be a little boring. And after your conversation, it seems a little lively up there. So I would love the opportunity to come serve here and also see the other side. As a school teacher myself, I'd like to see what it is like as a board member and to support the great programs that go on here that I hear about at home and I see in the community at large.
Thank you very much. So now we'll go back over to Mrs. Brennan. And Mr. Malloy, would you please ask Mrs. Brennan the first question?
Certainly. Mrs. Brennan, perhaps you could describe your previous community or nonprofit experience.
My previous and current, I previously held a position on the Pittstown Moms Club, which is pretty much all of Clinton Township, Pittstown, some portions of Union, and just big right over here. And I was the VP of services, so I would help come up with service projects for kids, because most of the kids were under five, that the moms couldn't be involved in, and even tried to incorporate children the smaller children, to try and start service at a young age. I also am currently my daughter's Daisy leader, as well as level consultant to help other parents, say the incoming kindergartners, create their own troops and start a love of Girl Scouts. I also work with the PTA. I am currently the membership chair at Spruce Run. I also just helped out with the bulk school supplies this last summer. I will be assuming the role of VP at Spruce Run this year. I have not previously held that, so I did not want to place it on there. And then I also, is that it? I think so. PTA, Moms Club, Girl Scouts. Yeah, that's my current volunteer, other than being at home with your kids.
Just quickly elaborate on Moms Club.
Moms Club. It's moms, capital M-O-M-S, stands for Mothers Offering Mother Support. It's to help other stay-at-home moms and other moms that are working it's for the moms. It's not a club for kids. It's the club that the moms go to so that they can find other moms similar to them and help each other through stressful situations, or just, you know, the lovely, wonderful motherhood experience. So it was something that I also did activities coordinating for that too for 2 years. So I would come up with activities for a monthly calendar every month, and would for every all sorts of age groups, different educational things, and fun outings as well.
Thank you very much. I'd
I apologize. I wasn't familiar with the club. So.
Now, this was the first question. So as we go on, if a board member has a follow-up question, you know, obviously we're trying to move it along, but if you have a follow-up question during that particular question, you know, please ask it.
Also, please call me Lana. Mrs. Brennan is my mother-in-law.
Okay, I'm trying to keep it on the screen here. Okay, Mrs. McLaughlin. See, we do that here. We call each other Mr. and Mrs.
How are we doing
well,
this?
Well, don't you have to go to Megan's question one?
Right. Wouldn't
we'll have Kevin do the same
oh,
question to Megan.
Oh, you're not going to follow up at the same. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah, I thought we were
so
going to.
I would ask.
Okay,
you
thank
then,
you.
The same question, Ms. Varama. Can you describe your community and nonprofit experience for the board, please?
Sure. Presently, I am a board member at Stanton Learning Center. It's a preschool at Stanton Reformed Church. I am our community outreach person. I organize a lot of the open houses for the school. I participated in, we do a dunk tank, which graciously the teachers have been volunteering to be in it during community day. At school, I am our coordinator of our school choice program, so I am the welcoming face and voice to all our school choice students at both the elementary and middle school. And I guess the other thing volunteer-wise is, can being a mom count? No, I'm just kidding. Also, it's mostly at school, the committees that I sit on have to do with outreach and are trying to get the kids to the HIB, so the anti-bullying I support, and with co-coordinate that with another teacher.
Thank you.
No problem.
Now okay. I need a question, Jim?
We're not going to keep hitting on it, but if anyone does have the follow-up question, just ask it. We won't remind after ask questions. So if anyone has anything, I'll just expect them to speak up right after the question's ended. So, Mrs. McLaughlin, you want to move on to the next one?
Okay. Question two. What areas would you like to strengthen in our district?
In our district, I really would love to strengthen communication with parents and also with community members. I know there have been a few times where even with being a part of the school district, I felt a little lost or not been able to find some information that I was looking for. So that's definitely an area I'd love to try and strengthen. Really, I just would like to continue the great, you know, work that you guys have already started, and I continue to see when I come and chime in every so often at the board meetings and just, you know, continue from there.
Thanks. What areas would you like to strengthen in our district?
I guess one area that I think is an area that probably could be seen in a lot of districts would be your character education program. I think with the new HIB law, I think a lot of that is new vocabulary and terminology to students that they don't realize what's really going on. And I think a strong character ed program using those seven pillars of characteristics would be great. And I know that a lot of the schools use them now. So it would be nice to kind of boost that up a little bit and make that community, not so much the stakeholders that are outside this building, but to build that community within your students, which will just bring an uprising to your school, which will hopefully push out into that community because they'll see these productive citizens and kids that care.
Okay. Mr. Freda, on the third question, why don't you go ahead and ask that question to Mrs. Verderamo first, and then we'll move it back to Mrs. Verderamo.
Sure.
What specific skills would you bring to the board? And as the question says, can you be specific?
Oh, my specific skills. Okay. As an intervention teacher in Tewksbury, I see data all the time. I breathe data. So I think when you're looking at state test scores that I'm used to seeing, whether it's new programs that you've brought in with MAP testing, I'm familiar with the terminology there and the ability to understand and see the areas of weakness and growth. Another area I think that I am is I'm very organized. Don't ask my husband that. But I am very organized outside our home. And I believe that's important to everything. You need to follow protocol, which I respect that you're doing this evening, and to make sure that you're on top of things so nothing gets slipped through the cracks. Also, as an at-risk teacher, I think sometimes that's where we need to make sure we're making sure our students are being serviced and meeting the potential that they need. Sometimes I find that school districts will look at the, put a big price on special education and a big price on all our overachievers, and those middle kids, those at-risk kids, they need that help. They need that boost in the New Jersey ask and soon to be the park. So I think that kind of knowledge of programs that I've used in the past and programs that I've researched on my own would be helpful to us.
I have a follow-up.
Sure.
In the beginning, did you say you were introductory teacher?
Intervention teacher.
Intervention teacher.
It's a fancy name for basic skills.
Okay.
I now call you intervention specialist.
Okay, like a BSI instructor.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No problem.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You were really taking some notes.
Yeah, I apologize.
I took enough time tonight. I'm not going to criticize anybody.
What specific skills would you bring to the board, again, if you could be specific?
I definitely, organizational skills. As a former stage manager, pretty much, if you're not familiar with the role, you do everything. You have to know where everything goes, when it needs to be done, exactly when it needs to happen, and you also have to keep this going with a live audience watching it. So you have to live and breathe everything that you do, pretty much. So for me, I don't know how it happened, but pretty much all I do is everything. It's really kind of annoying. Is when someone's looking for a date or something that's coming up, or what's not, I can pull it out and say, yes, we are meeting on this date, and this, it's not fun. It's a little bit sad. But it's just little things, detail-oriented. It just goes with it. I am so into the details that it's just something that comes naturally. I remember things. It's what I do. It's what I did. And, you know, it's helpful with trying to manage three kids' schedules. But, you know, it's really, I'd love to do it for something much bigger than myself and more than just what I've been putting it to at use now.
Did Tony Soprano make sure you're detail oriented?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Freda. I'll take the fourth question, and I'll start with you, Mrs. Bordaram.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the role of a school board member?
I think the role of a school board member is to support their school first. I mean, sometimes I think as a school board member, you may not necessarily agree or see the vision of the administration team, but you did hire them and they do have a vision, and I think sometimes you have to kind of let that play out cautiously, but to support them and also support if anything goes right or wrong, to make sure that it's in the best situation for your students at hand. I also think they are someone who represents the community at large, whether that's the young families and the older families, just to make sure that everyone's being heard. And lastly, I think you're there to really kind of be proud of your district, to say that you're supporting such a, you know, a fabulous school and that you're part of that team. So it's never you as one person, it's you as a whole.
Thank you. Mrs. Brennan. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Do we wait for follow-ups? Do we?
Oh, yeah
no, go.
Question.
Sure.
I guess because there's a relationship involved, how are you aware that as a board member in your role that you may not be able to partake in some key aspects? Do you know as a board
member? Does that mean I don't have to go home sometimes? Is that no, I'm just kidding.
That's true.
Yes, I completely understand that there will be
some of those aspects.
I mean, yes, that there will be certain aspects that I will not be able to vote or partake on. Yes, I am aware.
Do you think
aware
that helps you? I mean, do you think that's positive or negative, or how do you feel about it?
I don't think it's a negative aspect because I'd like to get involved within my community and I'd like to see what goes on.
Well, I meant from not being able to partake in certain key
issues. That wouldn't bother me because there'll be other key issues that I will be able to take part on, and I trust the other board members that they know what's right for those moments, as in negotiations or
great.
Whatever.
Thank you.
No,
great.
That's fine.
Great.
That's really fine.
Okay, Mrs. Brennan, what do you see as the role of a school board member?
I see it as just knowing the ins and outs of your districts and trying to make it the best district that you can possibly make it, and that you stand 100%, not 100%, that you stand behind it. And yes, there are some things you may not agree with, or it might not be done the way that you like it to be done, but as long as it's getting done to the final product that everyone, including the administrators, the teachers, parents, community members, is getting towards that end goal of getting the students through the schools educated far beyond what we really want, like not only where we need to be, but higher than that, so that they can go out and become productive members of the community. You know, I would like to support that as a board member and do whatever needs to be done. Sometimes there's the not fun jobs of making decisions that, like budget cuts and other things, and
debating processes.
Yes. So, you know, you may not always agree with it, but, you know, you have to trust that everyone on the board is eventually is all going to the same end point.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Sturgis, can I ask a follow-up to that?
Please.
And, Lana, I know you want to be called Lana. Is Megan okay with you?
Yeah, okay, that's totally fine.
So, the follow-up question, and then I'll leave it to our board president to decide who should answer this one first, because I'm going to apologize because it might be a bit unfair, but earlier this evening, you both saw a little bit of how they say the sausage gets made.
process. So my question to you is, since we're talking about the role of a board member, I would like your impressions about what you saw tonight, what you thought of it, and what you would have done differently.
Oh, you want me to go first? Okay.
Whoever you want.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah, why don't you go back?
Sorry, I mean, it's...
Okay,
it's,
no, that's fine. I'll go. All right, I'm going to be honest. At first, I was a little taken off guard because I did attend previous meetings, so I've seen much worse, personally. I've seen much worse. So I'm going to be honest there. But
no way!
I've seen much worse. I should have brought popcorn sometimes. No. But I do have to say, as much as my sense of humor, because some people... I am serious when I say that I know it was a difficult decision for you. At first, I kind of... in our defense, wanted to say, you have two candidates that want to come and take that seat. Do you know what I mean? I mean, at first I kind of got a little, not bitter, but I was a little like, wait, this seems silly. But to step back, I do have to say that you do obviously have to follow a protocol. And if it didn't feel good to you, then you had to do what was right for you. And maybe that would be me, I'm not sure. But from our point of view at first, the whole, well, this person sent it in here, and this person, I mean, we're two lovely women sitting and willing to, you know, take that seat. So at first I kind of felt like you were not valuing our application, and that kind of set me back a little bit, but I'm going to trust you that you're making the right decision, and that if that's the way you feel, then I have to support you on that as a whole.
Okay, good. So if you were actually a member of this board making that decision tonight,
right,
you feel that the process worked itself through properly. And again, no value judgments, or would you have done something differently?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably have to say.
Look, I just realized that I asked that. It's a completely unfair question.
Oh, no, that's fine.
What the heck?
So, it's like a conference.
So, same question to you, Lana.
I'm not going to lie. I was frustrated because... figure out how to say it without being a person that comes to these meetings, and I've been to a lot of these meetings to where I am literally the only person other than you guys and administrators up here, to see that there are people are not racing towards you with applications and throwing them at you, it was hard to see that. But I am actually happy about your choice. I mean, I know how you feel. I would want to be as prepared as possible in order to give the candidate the most, you know, your attention. I understand that, and that is where it took me back to where, yes, it's frustrating for me, but in your shoes, it's frustrating to not be prepared. That's my biggest fear in life, is to not be prepared for something, and then when I am not prepared, I always get so frustrated with myself because I knew I could have prepared better for it. And that if I was in that position, I would have done the same thing. Although I do appreciate taking the time to hear us both out because, or interview us, I should say, in the fact that, you know, I know that, you know, once September hits, the nights get very dicey really quick between back-to-school nights for everybody and all the other thing. The only other thing, and I know this is probably going to, like, right down in the water. The only thing I'm frustrated about is I have come here and I have seen, I am religious about checking the Friday before the board meeting about the agendas, but I've been here before and I have seen agendas come out as I'm walking in the door because I checked an hour ago and the agenda still wasn't even on the website. So that is the only one spot that frustrated me in the fact that it's not that all of everything you guys do doesn't just stop because there was a computer error or something last minute came up. Sometimes it still has to happen. And that's part of the reason I try and I try and get myself here every month because things come up. Things happen. I can't just assume that, oh, it wasn't on the agenda. I don't have to show up today. It's why I show up every time.
Thank you both very
Thank
much.
Thank you both, Emma. It's a good question and there were good answers. So
yeah,
thanks, Evan.
Sorry,
Mrs. Grant. Would you please ask question 5?
Sure. Take my glasses off because I'm too old to read them now. Lana, what do you know about the time commitment, mandated training, and ethic laws of disclosure required for school board membership?
I was looking into it. The first one. The hours, I've heard about 50 or so, but I'm assuming more just because of having to read, respond to emails, and I know how long it takes me sometimes to write emails, so it could be a long time.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I'm sorry,
How much time?
I assume like 50 hours a month or so, maybe more, only because that's what I've been given as sort of a jumping off point. I am lucky in the fact that I do live at home, I do not work, and I am at home all day, and my lovely children, while entertaining, I do like to take breaks and do things, and while I do have other commitments, I would not stand up here and try for this position if I did not think that I could take this commitment along with every other commitment I have and do it 100%, because I don't do things less than 100%, and if I can't give my 100%, I don't put myself into that position. Now, the other thing you mentioned was the ethics laws and the... Sorry.
The mandated training.
Yes, I read that in the first year, which possibly would not affect me due to the fact that if this appointment is supposed to be for 4 months, till January, I believe, it would not affect me in the fact that in the first year you had to get a training in order to stay on the board. The background check would be the only thing that would affect me, which I'm not too worried about. And then the other thing was the ethics. I am not completely up on the ethics. I'm assuming a certain level of what I do normal with the confidential information I receive as other places I do. I would assume I would do that, if not more. I am not. I would obviously read the entire thing before the vote even happened, but I'm sure that there are a lot of things that I can't just go and blast everybody I've ever met in my life and send them an email saying vote for me. But I would double check and triple check everything before I did anything.
I think I know what you're going to ask me. I don't think you have to read it again.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Thank you.
Okay, do that.
Glasses off already.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I know that being on the board is a huge time commitment. I know within those hours that you're probably slotted just like as if you're a teacher or at your job and you're supposed to work those regulated hours. It does take more than that. I do understand, too, as well, that the position is not something that would require either one of us to do the training per se. But I also have a very supportive structure at home that is willing to support me and make sure I'm available for any meeting that needs to be. And also within the ethics of everything, I know that, you know, you zip it, you lock it, you put it in your pocket, as I tell my students, that what's said here needs to stay here, or what's discussed with us needs to discuss with us, and as no need for me to really discuss that outside the realms of our team or meeting, per se.
Thank you very much. Ms. McTiernan, would you please ask question six of Mrs. Verderamo?
Who am I asking first?
Me.
Mrs. Verderamo.
Okey-dokey. Please give specific examples of your abilities regarding interpersonal relationships and teamwork. And I think just to guide your responses just a little bit, what we're looking for is an overview of a situation, what was occurring, and what you did and what was the result of that action or actions.
Okay. There's so many. Okay. So, for instance, today, I started back at school in Tewksbury, and I'm helping our new supervisor of curriculum. She she took in count all our homeroom teachers, but did not take in count our ASAP teachers, intervention specialists, or our special ed teachers. So we were having an all-day workshop on math and focus, Singapore math, and not everybody had the manipulatives or textbooks to look at. So instead of panicking, we just relaxed for a moment, took a look at everything, and realized that everybody had two manuals. We can share manuals. Everyone can. There's a manual A and there's a manual B. So some people are looking at A, some people are looking at B. In the meantime, I spoke with our presenter to ask her to kind of change it up a little bit and show both books, so that since we had people looking at all different things, so that we could be on each section that we could. So I think flexibility and communication, I know we keep using that word, but they are important. And in this aspect, just keeping a cool head, because if you overreact or react, I think that's where mistakes can happen.
Do you want me to repeat it?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think back. I've done things and I volunteer. I'm trying to think of my professional. What I used to do before I got the best job ever, I used to work in film and television. My husband still currently does that. It's a very stressful situation being in that. There are lots of deadlines and other stuff. And things pop up all the time. One specific I can think of, I was working on a show. As a production assistant, you answer to the ADs. The ADs were missing an actor. We couldn't find him. They were coming up, and if we don't stay on schedule, not that we don't, but it's very difficult to recuperate if a actor is only in for a day or something like that. So our ADs are having all the PAs run around and look for everybody, and instead of run crazy because everyone was, it's a very spread out, it's so hard to explain. It's a very spread out location, and most of the places we go, either locations or studio work, and instead of just running amok, trying to find someone, having hecticness over the headset, I simply called I had all the PAs, because I was the key PA, I rounded everyone up, and I was like, this is what we need to do. We all need to get together, find out where we last found him, or last had him, because sometimes actors don't always listen. It's a surprising fact. And they can walk off set. Sometimes they do it without notifying who they should be, because there is a protocol there, and the first team PA takes care of all of the main actors. So instead of the AD instead of her getting in trouble, the first team PA, I helped her round up the troops and get everybody to search out every nook and cranny of the stage that day. And thank goodness I had called everyone, instead of just saying, you know, everyone just go look, even though we're on headsets and it's craziness because there's 50 things going on at once on the headsets. Not only were we trying to look for people, because in order to talk to people, you also have to go to a secondary channel. And if you only talk to one person, it's not going to get to everybody at the same time. So I went over and talked to her and got her to get, got everybody together. So instead of everyone just running around, we specifically separated out to, okay, you go over to this room specifically. These are the areas that we usually find the people that walk off, the background actors. These are the hidey places of everything. And we worked together to try and get everything going, because once it gets up to the upper management, essentially, the production, the directors and everything, it becomes all downhill and everyone can very quickly, it becomes not so pretty. So I try to not only cover myself in what I do, but also work with my people who are with me and try and all come to a common answer of finding someone or something.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was so horrible.
Mr. Higgins, the last pre-prepared question. Would you mind starting with Mrs. Verderamo?
Certainly. What do you know about the educational programs in place for all children, such as basic skills, enrichment, and special ed?
I know a lot of... Oh, I think I'm supposed to go.
Oh, okay.
I thought that... Oh, that's better. All right. I am a special education teacher, so I know a lot. I taught special education for 5 years before becoming a basic skills or intervention specialist. So those are two areas that I definitely know a lot of information, know a lot of programs that are used during that time. Enrichment is a tricky question with me, because I think enrichment can be everyone, whether you're special ed or your basic skills. And sometimes I think when we label that, I'm trying not to get in a soapbox, but when we label children as gifted or they needing this special program, we're kind of saying to the other kids that they're just not up at that par. So, I mean, I am familiar with many school districts and the way they do their enrichment. I know there's a need for it, but I do like the melting of it, of having the enrichment teacher come into all the classrooms to enrich everybody. So, you know, just like everyone could use being a two-teacher classroom for special education, so.
Thank you.
No problem.
I am familiar with it, and the fact that I am only familiar with what's going on in Spruce Run, only because I have only been that far. I am interested in learning about the older grades. I've already talked to some friends just to find out what goes on, because I feel if you don't know about it, you don't know to not take advantage. But if you don't know about it, you're not going to know about it till it's almost too late. I know my daughter was in the inclusion in preschool as well as in kindergarten, and this year is going to be a little bit of a difference for us because we are not going to be in an inclusion classroom. But I don't know as much as I'd like to know, and I'll admit that. I would like to know more. I have sort of a basic understanding about the special education teachers, slightly about the enrichment, but since my daughter is not in it, I have not pursued finding out information due to the fact that it doesn't necessarily pertain to me, other than the fact that I know other parents who have students in the enrichment programs.
Thank you.
How would you go about willing to learn more? You said you need to learn more. Give us some examples. What would you do to...
Well, if I wanted to learn more, I would like to learn more as a person who is trying to become on the board, to know more. As myself, as not needing, say, enrichment, not needing, but as not having a child who can participate in that, I don't feel I necessarily need to contact, say, the principal and try and get a full, I can probably look on the website and find some things. However, for my daughters, actually, I am working with early intervention with them. So I'm going to get a real quick tutorial on what to do with that if they come into the school district as special needs or with an IEP. I have no clue about those. I am going online right now and searching out things. I am consulting other parents that I know that have been through this process with an IEP and asking them what their, you know, what strategies were good for that worked for them, how did the teachers respond to it, what would be something that you would have wanted to do if you would have known about it, and sort of do that. Okay. And I'm actually personally.
Great, thank you.
Okay, board members, does anybody have any questions you'd like to ask that weren't put in front of you? Mr. McTiernan.
Most definitely.
Okay.
Where do I start? Does it matter?
I don't think so.
Okay. Look to my right.
Okay.
And I'll end up looking to my left. It's interesting being a member of the Board of Education is a much different position than many people anticipate when they get started. Basically, what you do is you hire a CEO, also called a superintendent, and it's that person's responsibility to run the schools, because there are multiple schools here, multiple locations. And it's our job to give that person the freedom to succeed and the freedom to fail. And I mean that very seriously.
Right.
It really is an opportunity to succeed or fail. Our job is to sit back as members of the board, do our best to help that individual and the rest of the administrative staff succeed. In that regard, this board is divided up, and not all boards are divided up that way, into four distinct groups to cover some of the more heavy hitters as far as what the responsibility sets are that we can do to support the superintendent's success. We have the Facilities and Finance Committee. We have the Curriculum Committee. We have the Personnel Negotiations Committee and the Communications Committee. In looking at those committees and ignoring your ethical dilemma of being a teacher in negotiations and ignoring that, in what area do you think you could add the most value to this school board in supporting the administrative staff and the superintendent for success? And why?
I believe the committee that I feel that I would be the most knowledgeable would be curriculum. I just, as I said, finished up my master's degree in educational leadership and wrote a thesis on the Common Core and how teachers' implementation of the Common Core affects the process. If they, as we all know, the Common Core has some sticky grounds, as in some teachers do not feel it's developmentally appropriate or they feel that it's moving too fast. I studied the Common Core too long, but I definitely believe that that's a passion of mine as well. Curriculum is a passion of mine. I'm very active within our district with our curriculum. We were just saying with the kindergarten, we just met with the kindergarten team in my district, and the preschool teachers want to look at that and delve into the Common Core for the kindergarten so that they can look and see how they have to prepare our new preschoolers to enter kindergarten, because a lot has changed. So I definitely believe that the Common Core is important, and I feel that curriculum in general, with math, with reading, with different programs, that would be the best place for me, if I could choose, to help the board and Dr. Clark reach all those great goals that she has listed.
Thank you.
Could you say this? I'm thinking in my head, and I can't think of the... Could you just say the committees again? I forget. It's one of them I'm thinking.
In support of the administrative staff and the superintendent, there are four committees. Mm-hmm. One committee is Facilities and Finance. Another is Personnel and Negotiations. We've got Communications and the Common or the Core Curriculum, the Curriculum Committee.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that it was said that. If I got to choose, I would probably choose Communication, only because I'm a big talker. With what I do and other things I've done with being in the Moms Club and being in Girl Scouts, I have to try and reach out and try and reach the entire area that our multiple places cover. So I've been familiar with, you know, the newspapers, the newsletters, the websites, just trying to get out the most information as quick as possible. I mean, in the fact that I do Box Tops for Education. Currently, there's already a flyer on the virtual backpack as soon as it became the new thing. So I'm very on top of trying to communicate as soon as possible with whatever needs to get out to get out as fast, not as fast, but just as soon as I can do it, not before I need to. And if I had a second choice, I would probably do personnel negotiations. I'm not sure how much working with personnel, but I've worked with a lot of people. I like working with people. I like talking with people. I like seeing what they're looking for. I'm sure I would be an asset in that position of just working with them and trying to iron out whatever information one side or the other and working together to find a compromise, because I don't believe that word is used often enough, or people really don't know what it means, because compromise is when nobody's happy, and that it's not nobody's happy, but nobody got exactly what they wanted, and I find that's important, that everyone gives a little, not just one side or the other.
I'm not sure what you think. I think you cited two committees. Which committee?
If I had my choice, I would choose communications. The other one I think I would possibly do well in is personnel. Curriculum, I'm not, I mean, obviously I went to school and everything, but I am not as familiar as I would like to be in the other one, and
thank
don't
you.
Even talk to me about facilities and finance.
I have a question. Do you want me to start with Megan or Lena?
Okay, sure.
I think Megan started the last one.
No. Thanks, because she started the other.
What do you perceive to be the greatest challenge for the Clinton Township School District, and how do you feel you're prepared to help us meet that challenge?
I'm not quite sure I would even call it. I don't know a challenge. I think, like, as you said in today, you guys have been met with opposition of the public, so to speak. I've been here where I've seen some community members not so nice to everyone, and I think that community, which, and you showed today, you showed your willingness to follow everything and not only do what you're expected, but exceed your expectations to where it would be easy to say, yeah, let's just appoint someone. Why not? As opposed to waiting the extra time and doing it more correctly and appeasing everyone and not have a say, oh, well, have a few dissenters. In that way, you've covered all your bases and not just, you know, covered yourself for what you need to cover. It's covered completely. And how, I mean, I'm not quite sure. I'm going to be honest. I'm really hard to, making the resume for this tonight was just the hardest part of my entire week, in addition to public speaking. I don't public speak. But I'm not one to toot my own horn. I don't like to say I'm like really going to make a difference of everything. I'd like to make a difference, but me joining the board, I can't say that I'm definitely going to be able to do something without, I like to be sure before I say something like that. I would like to be a part of it, and I would like to put my enthusiasm towards it and work towards making everything, the board as a whole, better and the school district better. You know, but I don't have much else.
Thank you for your honesty. Do you want me to repeat the question?
The biggest challenge, was that?
What do you perceive to be the biggest challenge for the Clinton Township School District, and how are you prepared to help us meet that challenge?
Okay. I think one of the biggest challenges that Clinton Township sometimes faces is the teacher turnover rate that we seem to have some years. It's kind of disheartening because I feel like you have a great staff, and staff seems to look out to other districts, kind of like there's a greener, you know, pasture over another district. So I would like to figure out why that is, I guess, as a board member, and see how to prevent that in the future so that we can keep the excellent teachers that you have, you know, that the kids love getting off the bus to see, and not wanting them to yearn to go somewhere else. So I would definitely have to say I don't know what huge impact I could have on that, but that is something that I've always wondered and would like to kind of make more aware, because I think as a resident, when I always open up the township newsletter and read those great things that's going on, sometimes then you see like a list of, you know, 10 people that are new to the district. And maybe that's because we're adding. I don't know. But from an outsider or a community member, sometimes that looks like we're losing teachers. And I just would kind of like to know why that is and how we could prevent that, because it's a great place to work. My husband has loved it, and I think that that's important in order to keep the stability of the school and all the great curriculum that you've put into it and programs.
I'll keep going this way.
Okay. It's hot up here. Is it hot up here? Is it hot up there?
Do you guys want some water?
It is hot. No, I'm fine. It's fine.
I'm good.
Have some water. Good. I'm just wondering. My only question.
You're under the bright lights.
You guys get hot.
You're welcome.
Okay, go ahead.
All of us board members serve at the luxury and the privilege of the taxpayers, and we have an obligation to be responsible stewards with the taxpayers' school tax dollars at work.
Right.
Can you give me some examples of how you would be a responsible steward with the taxpayers' school tax dollars at work?
Okay, so let's go back to the fact that sometimes we might... Clinton Township has a high turnover rate. When I look at that, sometimes I say to myself, we invested a lot of money in those teachers within their programs, within their training them into all the different great, the ARF program, I hope I'm saying that right, Bobby. Do you know what I mean? The reading program, all those great things, and then we lose them and they go off. Or as a fiscal person, we're paying great people to go off to school. My district paid for my education, and we're not trying to suck those people in and use them within our. So as a taxpayer, and sometimes I hear that from my dad, since my parents still live here, that can be a little upsetting to them because they feel like we're investing and then it's going. So I would like to look into that. I'd also like to look at different programs that we bring in to make sure that they're not the new fad, you know, so that's, I guess, a budgetary thing in the grand scheme of things, and to look at the budget. I mean, I can't imagine that must give you all nightmares, you know, when it's budget time. So, I mean, I think you have to step back and look at it, but also make sure that you're making the right decision for every kid, as we've said, with cuts and stuff like that. But that's how I feel.
Can you repeat the question? Just want to make sure.
Sure. Again, as elected, you know, we sit up here as elected officials serving at the luxury and privilege of the taxpayers, and we have an obligation to be responsible stewards of the taxpayers' school tax dollars at work. Can you give me some examples of how you would be a responsible steward of the taxpayers' school tax dollars at work?
Okay. Responsible steward, I know the budget is like the easy, you know, I feel that you guys have been doing a great job in the last couple budgets that I've been watching.
Thank you.
In the last couple budgets, I feel that you guys have definitely been doing the more physical responsible. And where you don't just cut things. You look at where it needs to be, where you have the extra space, where you have the ability to, maybe you can cut a little from one this year, but maybe... because we cut it this year, we're going to give it a little bit next year, but cut from somewhere, sort of, you know, ebb and flow of where you can put this money. And also, I think that along with the budget, there's other areas of just, you know, trying to find out what is best for the student, and the fact that it's easy to cut programs like it's easy to cut programs like all the extracurricular activities or all of the sports, or, you know, but you guys have continued to do that. And I feel like when I've been sitting here and doing my mental comments, I've been in agreement with a lot of that, of where I feel that, you know, you can be fiscally responsible without cutting everything out. And I would be bringing that in. And on a personal basis, I mean, I try to bring that in my own home. And the fact of just trying to make everything meet, and I try and put in a balanced budget at my house. It doesn't always work, but it's what I try to do, and it's where I've been most useful. And The other way I'd be responsible is not just, because I've heard what she's been saying about the teachers, and I know by being in the schools and seeing it, it's not necessarily a turnover. It's also with our students, we're getting a lower count. So in trying to anticipate the needs of the future years, seeing what needs to happen. Do we need to close the school? I don't know. But that would be, I'd need information, and you guys have shown it, but we just need to continue on that. Is that maybe the best way to save the taxpayers? Because that, I know, is a big thing from the community members, not knowing the whole situation of what hoops you have to jump through in order to close a school. It's easy to say, let's just close a school. Well, but you need like a 5-year plan that it's going to go down in enough time that you won't need to rebuild or something. And I also won't be so quick to say, hey, let's add on another school, or let's add on this program that is not, unless it is not beneficial, unless it is absolutely necessary and will benefit our kids before, you know, because I want to take care of everything, try and get it as a whole, make a whole student, and not just robots who can fill out Scantrons and do standardized tests. While not everyone may agree with me, but I believe that arts and other programs should still be funded, and while it might not be the best in the budget, I would be a well-rounded person rather than just cutting.
Thank you, both of you.
Board members, I'm going to try and wrap this up. I've got a good feedback. Unless anybody has a question they really feel like they would like to ask, I'm going to ask one more before I thank you both profusely for coming and taking the time. There's a deadline to submit a petition for the ballot for the November election. That would be for the one-year term from January 1 to December 31, 2014. What we're talking to you about now is appointing you to the essentially a four-month term, and I explained a little earlier, you know, how that's potentially linked to the ballot and not linked to the ballot. My question is, for both of you, are you going to submit a petition to run for the vacant seat on the November ballot? It would be, the deadline is September 3rd. It's a one-page petition. It has to be signed by 10 registered voters in the township. You can be one of the 10.
It has space for 12, but it's actually only 10, and you, as the person applying, has to be the person who also signs on it.
Yeah. And you can be one of the 10. I did 12 just to hedge my bets in case someone didn't register to vote.
Always fill it out.
So that's my question. Do you intend to submit your name in a petition to be on the ballot for November?
I have it printed out. I have my first signature of my husband. I have been dragging my feet, not in the fact that I do not want to do it. I'm just freaked out about putting my name on the ballot. Once I could get past that and just turn it in, I was planning on turning it in on Friday, this Friday coming up. It's not the lack of wanting to do it, it's the nerves of putting myself out there.
Okay. So is it your intention to...
My intention is to, yes, okay, to put something out there.
How about you, Mrs.?
This was not an easy decision for me to apply for this position because my husband is a staff member here. And it took a long discussion between the two of us to really make the commitment to try this for the 4 months. I really love my marriage and don't want anything to happen there. No, I'm just not sure. I'm starting my doctorate in January. It's not something that I can say that I haven't thought about and I really would like to do. But one thing that is if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it 100%. And it wouldn't be fair for me to stand here and say, yes, absolutely, just so I could lock that seat in, because I think that would be, you know, a disservice to everyone. So I can't say that I'm not thinking about it, but it's not something that, obviously, as a family, we have made that decision to do, because it is a huge time commitment, and it does require a lot of, you know, dinners that will be quiet, but, you know, so it's a lot to think about, but right now we're ready to make that commitment for the next 4 months.
Okay. thank you both very much, and thank you for coming tonight, for expressing your interest. And I know it's not easy standing up there in front of a podium, in front of a bunch of people. I've done it, and it's not easy. So thank you for doing it, and thank you for entertaining becoming Board of Education members.
So can I just ask a quick question? So we just come on the 23rd, is that, and then?
Yep, it'll be on the agenda for the next board meeting. It'll actually be the same as what you saw on tonight's agenda. It'll be an executive session to discuss appointment of the board vacancy. So that would happen right at the beginning of the meeting. There wouldn't be as much discussion, obviously, as there was tonight, because we were able to do the interviews, and then we would appoint. The person appointed, if we appointed, would be appointed right at that moment, and you would sit down, and you would take an oath, and you'd be a board member.
Okay.
And if you have any questions about the Board of Education or about the process for applying for the ballot, you're welcome to ask me. I think most of the board members would be happy to help you any way they can. Mrs. Spitzer is the board secretary. She has a lot of information. And then even Mary Melfi, the county clerk, I call her when I have questions about the elections process, and she's very helpful. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Quick question. Kevin, Mr. President, do we have, it's a possibility that we may choose nobody. I guess it could be a possibility. Do we have a game plan? Should that be the case? I mean, you know.
Well, if you don't appoint, there is a process that's followed by the county. The county superintendent gets involved, and they tell you who you're.
I just want to know if we as a board are aware of.
I thought it was 65 days, maybe it's 60. Then the county comes and tells you.
65.
They intervene.
Okay.
So it's in your best interest to appoint.
I understand, but I'm not saying. I just want to ask the question.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we have a full agenda tonight. Despite that, I'm going to ask if we could take a five-minute recess, and then we'll get going straight through the board business. We need a motion to recess.
So moved.
By Mark Freda.
I'll second.
By John. So we're going to go into recess for 5 minutes. I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So the
take a 5 minute break.
Motion passes. 5 minute break at 9:20. We'll reconvene at 9:25.